Welcome to this reading of the sports section of the Richmond Times-Dispatch for Thursday, April 18th. I'm Virginia Voice volunteer Joe Hubble. In the on-deck circle, the Virginia Sports Hall of Fame comes to Henrico. But first, the National Hockey League's Washington Capitals wrap up playoff berth on Improbable Goal by Stephen Wino of the Associated Press. Tally by Washington's Oshie comes on empty net in a tie game. Dateline Philadelphia. TJ Oshie shot the puck into an empty net and, in the process, scored one of the more unlikely game-winning goals in recent NHL history and sent the Washington Capitals to the playoffs. Oshie's empty net goal with 3 minutes left helped the exhausted Capitals beat the Philadelphia Flyers 2-1 on Tuesday night under absurd circumstances. The score was tied when Philadelphia coach John Tortorella pulled his goaltender for an extra attacker because his team needed to win in regulation to keep its postseason hopes alive. What Tortorella didn't know was that about a minute earlier, Detroit scored with 3.3 seconds remaining to force to overtime at Montreal and eliminate the Flyers. "We'll take it," Capitals captain Alex Ovechkin said. "Thanks, Philly." Tortorella found out just after Oshie's empty netter about what happened between the Red Wings and the Canadiens. By then, it was too late, and Washington's win also eliminated Detroit and the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Capitals will face the President's Trophy-winning New York Rangers in the first round beginning this weekend, returning to the playoffs after a one-year absence ended their eight-year streak. "It means a lot," said Oshie, one of a handful of players remaining from the Capitals' 2018 Stanley Cup-winning team, along with Ovechkin, John Carlson, and Tom Wilson. "Once you win one time, the regular season just doesn't have as much meaning as the playoff games, so to get back there is going to be super special and definitely won't be taken for granted. The boys will be ready to rock," Oshie remarked. A recent six-game losing streak looked to have tanked the Caps' chances, but behind more strong play from goalie Charlie Lindgren, they kept themselves in the race. Lindgren looked shaky at times against the Flyers, giving up some big rebounds, but he made 27 saves when they mattered in this second start in as many days and his 48th of the season, by far the most he has played in his NHL career. "He's been arguably our MVP," first-year coach Spencer Carberry said. "He's been fantastic all year. He earned the opportunity to play this in back-to-back, and he delivered once again." Ovechkin provided the earlier offense, scoring his 31st goal of the season and 853rd of his career on a deflection of Dylan McIlrath's shot late in the first to move 42 back of breaking Wayne Gretzky's record. The only goal Lindgren allowed was a similar redirection by veteran defenseman Eric Johnson, a trade deadline acquisition by Philadelphia not known for his scoring prowess. Before being pulled, Flyers goalie Samuel Erison stopped 16 of 17 shots he faced. "That was one of the most encouraging things of it all, is the last three games, that Ayers can go home in the summer with that," Tortorella said. "It's ridiculous how much we played him, but he gets to go home feeling he rebounded and found himself again." The Capitals found themselves over and over again this season, going from low preseason expectations to somehow in contention to trade deadline sellers to playoff front runners. It's only fitting they took the final step to the playoffs in unusual fashion, and the Rangers are up next. "Significant challenge," Carberry said. "Best team in the NHL, so we know we have our hands full." Note: Ryan Leonard, Washington's top prospect, will not be joining the Capitals for the playoffs and will return to Boston College for his sophomore season. Leonard, 19, and the 8th overall pick in last year's draft, said he wants to play another season at the NCAA level before making the leap to the NHL. Speculation swirled on social media Wednesday about Leonard perhaps changing his mind. Leonard had 60 points in 41 games this season, helping BC reach the Frozen Four before losing to Denver in the final. Washington takes on the New York Rangers Sunday at 3 p.m. on ESPN. This has been Capitals Wrap-Up Playoff Berth on Improbable Goal by Stephen Wino of the Associated Press. Next up, Hall Moving Out of Comfort Zone by John O'Connor of the Times-Dispatch. Inductions have been in Hampton Roads for more than 50 years. Virginia's Sports Hall of Fame. Norfolk native Will Driscoll graduated from Temple University, and off he went to work as a news and sports television broadcaster in Fairbanks, Alaska. He doesn't object to a leap of faith. Driscoll now steers the Virginia Sports Hall of Fame into some uncertainty. After 5 decades of induction ceremonies in Hampton Roads, the Hall will move this year's event Saturday at the Henrico Sports and Events Center. All signs indicate to Driscoll that the shift will be a success, but on Monday he acknowledged, "Obviously this is a calculated risk. You're in the same vicinity or the same location for 50-plus years, and so there's always a risk involved when you change it up." The strategy involves bringing the Hall's most notable annual shindig to a new region. "As the official Hall of Fame for the state, we want to increase our visibility, awareness, outreach, and engagement to other areas of the state," Driscoll said. "It just happened that Henrico in Central Virginia was our next step, adding to what we already do in Hampton Roads." Support received from the Richmond area pleases Driscoll, and he expressed gratitude for pushes provided by the Henrico Sports and Entertainment Authority, the Richmond Flying Squirrels, the Richmond Kickers, and Richmond Raceway. "And then that has bled into the business community," Driscoll said. "All the organizations that support these great entities, many of them are supporting us as well. We see our role as kind of the new kid in town, but we also want to become part of the community moving forward." According to Driscoll, both Saturday events at the Henrico Sports and Events Center are projected to include greater attendance than when they were held during recent years in Virginia Beach. About 300 are expected for Saturday's Breakfast with Champions, and about 600 are expected for the evening induction ceremony, he said. "The only difference is between where we host it in Virginia Beach and where we're hosting it at the Sports and Events Center, there's no space limitation at the Sports and Events Center," Driscoll said. "We have run into our max numbers in Virginia Beach. There's nothing wrong with that. You always want to hit a max number if it's available to you. But we've also been very encouraged, especially being our first time at the Henrico Sports and Events Center, that we've seen our numbers go beyond what we've done in Hampton Roads in the past, at least in the recent past," he concluded. The Hall's 2025 induction ceremony will return to Virginia Beach, and subsequent locations have not been determined. Other areas of Virginia seem a strong possibility. "We have inductees from all over the state, and we want to make sure we're celebrating them where they're from," Driscoll said. Tom Yeager, the former CAA commissioner who was inducted into the Virginia Sports Hall of Fame in 2019, lives in the Richmond area and is one of 6 members of the Hall's Board of Directors Executive Committee. "What brings it all together is the inductees reflecting back when Mom drove you to practices 7 days a week at all hours of the morning, the coaches that changed your life," Yeager said. "It's those kind of stories that go beyond, 'Hey, This is a big star athlete kind of thing. It's an uplifting kind of evening. Very few of these inductees have ever been somebody that just had everything delivered on a platter. It's hard work, sacrifices from family, luck, overcoming injuries, you name it. A number of Virginia Sports Hall of Fame members returned to induction events to congratulate new classes. In addition to putting on this annual event, the Hall conducts sports and mental health initiatives, other outreach programs, and raises funds for scholarships. This year's class, Paul Woody, former reporter for the Richmond News Leader and the Richmond Times-Dispatch, Rick Jeffrey, associated with Special Olympics Virginia for 36 years, former Randolph-Macon basketball coach Hal Nunnally, former William & Mary soccer star and coach of the U.S. Women's National Team Jill Ellis, former University of Virginia Director of Athletics and Assistant Basketball Coach Craig Littlepage, former UVA football star defensive lineman Chris Long of Charlottesville, former track and field star LaShawn Merritt of Portsmouth, former UVA basketball star Monica Wright Rogers of Woodbridge, and Dave Smith of Roanoke, a highly respected former sports information staffer and director at Virginia Tech. This has been Hall Moving Out of Comfort Zone by John O'Connor of the Times-Dispatch. Next up, Beekman Officially Leaving Cavaliers by Mike Barber of the Times-Dispatch. His announcement of intention to go to the NBA was expected. Dateline Charlottesville. Reese Beekman, a four-year starter and the two-time ACC Defensive Player of the Year, made official Wednesday what Virginia basketball's program knew was coming. The senior point guard will forego his extra COVID season and declare for the NBA draft. I will carry with me not just the dream of playing at the highest level, but the responsibility to represent UVA with humility and passion, Beekman wrote in a post on his Instagram account. Beekman leaves UVA as the program's all-time leader in steals. He also ranks third in assists and 38th in scoring. This past season was his finest, a year that saw him serve as the team's focal point at both ends of the court. He averaged a career-high 14.3 points per game to go with 6.2 assists and 3.6 rebounds per outing, leading the Cavaliers to a third-place finish in the ACC and an NCAA tournament appearance for the third time in the past 4 years. But when UVA lost to Colorado State in the first four in Dayton, it meant Beekman's career would end without an NCAA tournament victory. "I'm just blessed to have a career here of 4 years," Beekman said after the loss. "I've been able to play since almost basically day one. I know that's not usual. So I'm just looking back at it, happy about the experience, happy at being back here doing my last year of college. It was just a blessing. I don't want this game to define my whole season or my whole career. Yes, it's tough, but I'm glad to be in this position." Coach Tony Bennett also mentioned that the latest postseason disappointment shouldn't detract from Beekman's remarkable career or his outlook as a professional. "It doesn't change anything about this guy's career and what he's done," Bennett said after the loss. "For 4 years, I've never seen a guy get better and better. Someone's going to be very fortunate at the pro level to have this guy." Beekman, who went through the pre-draft process a year ago before ultimately opting to return to Virginia, helped fuel the Cavaliers' run on an 8-game winning streak this season, a run that put them in a position for an NCAA bid. In 2022, he sank a memorable late shot to beat Duke at Cameron Indoor Stadium, and in 2021, his buzzer beater propelled Virginia past Syracuse in the ACC tournament. Tuesday, sophomore forward Ryan Dunn announced he was leaving Virginia for the draft as well. The team also loses forwards Jordan Miner and Jacob Groves, who are out of eligibility, and redshirt freshman Leon Bond III, who put his name in the NCAA transfer portal. With two incoming freshmen, Bennett now has three scholarships available to pursue some players in the portal. A veteran point guard figures to be high on the team's list. Dante Harris, who backed up Beekman in 2023-24, is expected to return, and UVA has Christian Bliss, who redshirted this past season, to also compete for time at the point. This has been Beekman Officially Leaving Cavaliers by Mike Barber of the Times-Dispatch. We continue college basketball with this article titled, King Helped Direct Big Man to Spiders by John O'Connor of the Times-Dispatch. 6'10" center will have two seasons of eligibility at UR. Jordan King, who starred at guard in his one and only season at the University of Richmond, returned home to Albany, New York, for parts of his collegiate off-seasons. There he met a young big man who was a member of the Albany Great Danes program, Jonathan Beagle. The two occasionally worked out together. When Beagle determined this year that he would enter the transfer portal following his sophomore season, he contacted King and asked for his impressions of Richmond. King gave the Spiders a thumbs up. That endorsement, blended with everything else the 6'10", 240-pound Beagle knew of UR, resulted in Beagle becoming a Spider, he said. Beagle committed on April 7th and has two seasons of eligibility remaining. UR coach Chris Mooney prefers transfers with more than one season left when possible. Beagle also entered the transfer portal following his freshman season, during which he averaged 12.4 points, 7.5 rebounds, and 2.1 assists, and then returned to Albany. Sickness in his family helped keep Beagle with the Great Danes for a second year, he said. His home in Hudson Falls, New York, and Albany are 54 miles apart, and he said he felt he needed to be close to family. Beagle, the 2023 America East Rookie of the Year, as an Albany sophomore this season, averaged 12.5 points, 58.5% shooting, 9.5 rebounds, and 1.6 assists for the 13-19 Great Danes. Beagle played in 22 games with 19 starts and left the team for personal reasons on February 1st. This week, Beagle declined to elaborate. Beagle's rebounding knack is rooted in his belief that to succeed in that area, a player needs to take it personally. Every game, I just know that's a stat I feel people can take selfishly, Beagle said. You can just go after as many rebounds as you can. I go into every game trying to get as many as I can. It's about putting your mind to it. A-10 members Loyola Chicago, George Washington, and St. Louis were among other schools that reached out to Beagle after he entered the portal. But I always thought Richmond was the best thing for me, he said. Beagle intends to arrive in Richmond in mid-May for summer school and workouts. In terms of basketball development priorities, Beagle said his intention is to follow the instructions supplied by the UR staff. He is well aware of how former Spiders forwards T.J. Klein, Grant Golden, and Neil Quinn progressed while at Richmond. I'm going to trust UR coaches. I know that they're very good with developing their bigs. Coach has done it before. He's seen it, Beagle said of Mooney. Hearing them out, whatever they think is best for me, what they think they can see me doing, whatever they've got going on, that's what's going to be best for me. For my game right now, I'm just kind of working on a little bit of everything, watching Spiders video, seeing what they did last year, working on stuff like that to transfer over. I feel like going in, it will be a transition that obviously I need to work hard to make, but Mooney knows how to do it, and he knows how to do it fast. Beagle, who said he considers himself kind of a late bloomer, played locally in Hudson Falls, and then during the pandemic shifted to Connecticut's St. Thomas More, which played a high level of competition for two seasons. I didn't really develop into a Division I player until I got there, Beagle said. We didn't have a season at Hudson Falls, so I decided to go prep. I went there, and it was really like its own bubble for 5 months. I didn't leave campus for 5 months. It was just you and basketball, and that's it. Looking back on it, it was like the best thing I could ever have done. Really got me ready for college basketball. There isn't anything I'd change on my high school route because I learned so much, even though it was tough sometimes. Beagle is the third newcomer to this point for the Spiders. In the fall, they signed incoming freshman Bryson McLaughlin, 6'7" from Plano, Texas, and Jalen Robinson, 6'6" from Jacksonville, Florida. This has been King Helped Direct Big Man to Spiders by John O'Connor of the Times-Dispatch. Now on to Major League Baseball. Verlander's first pitch to be at Nats by Christy Ryken of the Associated Press. Goochland native has been out with a shoulder ailment. Dateline Houston. Houston Astros ace Justin Verlander will make his season debut Friday night at the Washington Nationals. Houston manager Joe Espada made the announcement Wednesday. Getting him back is huge because it brings a level of confidence to our team. A boost of confidence that we're going to get someone who's been an MVP, a Cy Young winner on the mound, Espada said. It's good for the morale and to get stuff started and moving in the right direction. Verlander, a former star at Goochland High School and Old Dominion and a three-time Cy Young Award winner, opened the season on the injured list with inflammation in his right shoulder. He made two rehabilitation starts, the first for AAA Sugarland on April 7th, before Saturday's start for AA Corpus Christi. Espada wouldn't say how many pitches the 41-year-old would be limited to, but said they'll keep an eye on his workload. We've got to be careful how hard we push him early, Espada said. I know he's going to want to go and stay out there and give us an opportunity to win, but we've got to be cautious of how hard we push him early in the season. Verlander wasn't thrilled with the results in his rehabilitation starts, but said Monday that those games were valuable in getting him prepared to come off the IL. He allowed 7 hits and 6 runs, 5 earned in 4 innings against Frisco on Saturday. He struck out 3, walked 1, and threw 51 of 77 pitches for strikes. You're not quite in season form, Verlander said after Monday's rehab start. The only way to practice pitching at full speed is to actually go out there and do it. As much as I would like to, I can't practice full speed in the bullpen. It's just not possible. So you really hope that your body starts to sync things up when you're out there in a game, and you learn from each time you're out there, and I think I'm doing just that. Verlander allowed 6 earned runs and struck out 6 while pitching into the 4th inning on Sugarland on April 7th. The Houston Astros play the Washington Nationals at Nationals Park Friday at 6:30 p.m. TV coverage will be on Masson. Staying with the MLB, here is Around the League by the Associated Press. Padres. San Diego put right-hander Yu Darvish on the 15-day IL with neck tightness retroactive to Sunday. The 37-year-old is 0-1 with the 4.18 ERA in 5 starts this season. Rockies. Colorado placed Chris Bryant on the 10-day IL with a low back strain. Bryant had missed the last three games after crashing into the outfield wall to make a catch on Saturday. Guardians. Cleveland acquired right-hander Pedro Avila from San Diego for cash. Avila went 2-2 and had a 3.22 ERA in 14 games with the Padres last season. And now for baseball's stat of the day, courtesy of ESPN. After allowing 7 earned runs on Tuesday, Kyle Hendricks became the first pitcher since 2019 to give up 5-plus earned runs in his first 4 starts of the season. He's the first Cubs pitcher to do it since earned runs became official in 1913. This has been Verlander's first pitch to be at Nats, around the league, and baseball stat of the day. Next up, bad beats. Raptors Porter banned for life by Tim Reynolds of the Associated Press. He bet on games and shared information with sports bettors. Toronto Raptors two-way player Jontay Porter was banned for life from the NBA on Wednesday after a league probe found he disclosed confidential information to sports bettors and wagered on games, even betting on the Raptors to lose. Porter is the second person to be banned by Commissioner Adam Silver for violating league rules. The other was now former Los Angeles Clippers owner Donald Sterling in 2014, shortly after Silver took office. In making the announcement, Silver called Porter's actions blatant. "There is nothing more important than protecting the integrity of NBA competition for our fans, our teams, and everyone associated with our sport, which is why Jontay Porter's blatant violations of our gaming rules were being met with the most severe punishment," Silver said. The investigation started once the league learned about unusual gambling patterns surrounding Porter's performance in a March 20 game against Sacramento. The league determined that Porter gave a bettor information about his health status prior to that game and said that another individual, known to be an NBA bettor, placed an $80,000 bet that Porter would not hit the numbers set for him in parlays through an online sports book. That bet would have won $1.1 million. Porter took himself out of that game after less than 3 minutes, claiming illness, none of his stats meeting the totals set in the parlay. The $80,000 bet was frozen and not paid out, the league said, and the NBA started an investigation. The league also determined that Porter, the brother of Denver forward Michael Porter Jr., placed at least 13 bets on NBA games using someone else's betting account. The bets ranged from $15,000 to $22,000. Those wagers did not involve any game in which Porter played, the NBA said, but 3 of the wagers were multi-game parlays, including a bet where Porter, who was not playing in the games involved, wagered on the Raptors to lose. All 3 of those bets lost. This has been Bad Beats, Raptors Porter Banned for Life, by Tim Reynolds of the Associated Press. And that concludes this presentation of today's Richmond Times-Dispatch sports section. I'm Joe Hubble for the Virginia Voice. This program is also available on demand at www.virginiavoice.org.